Well, welcome back to the table. This is a little bit different Bible study segment than we normally do. We're actually airing part two of lesson 82. If you missed part one, it's right on our website. You can go click on that. This lesson 82 from 2 Samuel 6, verses 9 through 23. And here is Beth Seifert.
Okay, well, now we're going to continue and finish lesson 82. David has just realized how he's appropriately supposed to carry the ark. And we see that the Levites have carried the ark those six steps out of the house where the ark was kept, and realize that God is showing his mercy and his grace on them again. And so they stop and they celebrate and they build an altar to God and sacrifice to him. And then David goes ahead of the ark, dancing and shouting with all his might. He's using his whole body to worship God. He's not dancing with the people. They were behind the ark, but ahead of them, out of joy that the ark was to be brought to his home, without any evidence of God's disapproval on this plan. Now, David wasn't wearing his kingly clothes as he did this. He chose the plain linen ephod of the priests, the simple costume, without adornment, so as not to draw attention to himself, but to point it where it belongs, to God. All of this is an effort on the part of David to humble himself before the Lord. This procession was a noisy, praiseful one, and the people are praising God for his mercy and are joyfully bringing the ark up into the city with the people. As they come to the city, we find that Michal, Saul's daughter and David's first wife, is looking out the window, watching what is happening. Let's be honest, it was probably very loud and very hard to miss. As she looks out, the first thing she sees is the king, her husband, in front of the ark, dressed in plain clothes, and dancing and leaping with all his might to honor God as he brings the ark into the city. He doesn't care who's looking at him. He doesn't care how ridiculous any of his actions might seem. He's doing all of this for an audience of one, for the audience of God. And Michal despises David. She sees what he is doing, and she cannot believe that he is behaving in such an undignified way. She doesn't understand what's going on. She, like her father, does not have a heart for God, and she can't fathom how David could possibly be seen appearing as he is. She doesn't understand that David's not concerned about his appearance. It's not about him. He's concerned about lowering himself so that God may receive the worship and the glory and the praise. David is humbling himself and exalting God. And that is something that Michal, with her self-serving household gods, could not understand. So they bring the ark into the tent that David had prepared for the ark, and David offers burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Again, the priests did the actual offering, but David presented the offering to be sacrificed, thanking God for allowing them the privilege of bringing the ark up to his city and his mercy on David and the people. A much better attitude here that we see, as opposed to the disrespectful one that we had seen before. David is working on restoring the fellowship that he and Israel have with God through these offerings to atone for their sin and to increase their fellowship. David then, as the leader of the people, blessed the people in God's name, asking God to bless the people with both spiritual and earthly blessings. And David provides food for all the people gathered for this occasion, the people who brought up the ark, the people who gathered at the gates as the ark was brought in. All of them are given food, sustenance. David is providing for the physical needs of the people. He's providing for their well-being. One more time, David distinguishes himself as their king here. He not only welcomes the people into this celebration, he provides a modest feast of choice meat and other treats here. David uses the resources of the nation for the benefit of the nation. Now, this attitude that we see in David is so much more honoring to God than when he had the ark on a cart, showing off the ark as if it were a prize or a trophy. Here we can see that David understood who was really important and what was really important. And he's understanding that, and he's demonstrating that in all of these things as he's trying to help his nation become reconciled back to God. Then David returns to his household to bless them as well, just as he has just done for the people in general. However, he doesn't quite reach his house before Michal comes out to meet him. She couldn't wait until he was inside the house to deliver her condemnation and judgment on him. Her words are words of judgment, anger, and condemnation because she is embarrassed to be his wife. She considers David's actions foolish in the extreme to lower himself in such a way to show honor to God. All that Michal can see is that David lowered himself, humbled himself, and since she doesn't seek God, she doesn't know God, she considers this a worthless thing to have done. She does not understand the passion that David had for God or the relationship that he had with God. David's response to her says it all. It's not about me. It's about God. I was showing honor to God. I will celebrate before the Lord. If you call what I did today shameful, oh, just wait. I will lower myself even more in human eyes because it's not about me. And those servants you talked about, they understand this better than you do. They will see what I do, how I set aside the pomp and circumstance and the privilege of being the king of the country to honor God. And they will look at me with respect because I honor God first. David is reminding Michal that God chose him to be the king, not one of her family members or even her father. God chose to remove Saul as king, not continue him on the throne. And he is reminding Michal to draw a distinction between him and between Saul and her family, and pointing out that God is the one who made those choices, not David. He will continue to praise God in humility and awe as long as he lives, and Michal is going to have to cope with that. And from that day on, although David did not divorce her or send her away, he had nothing to do with her. She was provided for and taken care of, but David set her aside so as not to be corrupted by her influence and turn from God himself. Thus Michal, and her calling upon David and calling him shameful, ended up as the one with the shame on her head, because barrenness was considered to be shameful for a woman, and Michal, in her condemnation of David's joy in God, brought about her own shame. She receives her punishment for her pride, and at the same time, this is another way that God is showing his judgment on the house of Saul. No heirs for Saul will be born from Michal. This whole passage is just a wow to me. I love seeing David's abrupt about face. He knows he's messed up. He knows he's sinned. And he basically hides until it's safe to come out. But when he does come out, he throws himself into repairing the mistake he has made. He's ready to take care of the problem he created and fix it. He will demonstrate to his people, who he understands are really God's people, Israel, how he will direct the glory back to God through his dancing and his humility. His wife, who doesn't understand this and who yells at him for it, receives her punishment. This is a reminder of a couple of things to me. First of all, when we know that we've sinned, it's fixable. When we realize our own pride and sin, that relationship that's been damaged between us and God can be repaired. And we can remember where we belong, in abject humility on our knees before God. That's where we belong, anyway. Secondly, there are people who will see our glorifying of God and think that we are nuts. They'll think we're stupid. They'll think we're making a disgusting display. They'll even think we're being vulgar in how we praise our Father. All the things that Michal thought. My question for us today follows that thought. Are you striving to look good in man's eyes or in God's? If you're striving to look good in man's eyes, you've got a really rough job ahead of you because you're never going to please everyone. There's always going to be some group that you're going to upset. But if you're striving to please God, you'll be in His Word, His love letter to you. You'll be on your knees in prayer, and your focus won't be on your own glory, but it'll be on His every day. So again, who are you trying to please?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.